I have been doing music ministry for 15 years now. I think I mentioned that. And we stepped out into this not really believing that I would do it for more than 8 months. We moved to Jacksonville, Florida, and there was no teaching position there. So it seemed like a good idea to figure out how to do a concert and do that for the next year. And it just kind of grew from there. But there's times in any ministry or any job that burnout happens, that you need to decide and reevaluate whether it's the thing you're supposed to be doing. And there will be a day here, I don't know when, but there's a time that I'll shift into something else. Music will always be a part of my life, but doing concert music ministry won't be. And I was starting to get really burned out. I'm not on the road as much as I used to be, but I used to be on the road about 200 days a year, sometimes a little over, and that was just too much and hard. And you have to really be sure that God is in it and this is where he wants you to be. And I was burned out, and I thought, you know, my songs, they just felt like they, you know, kind of went in front of you and then just dropped. What's the value of it? I was having a hard time really believing that what I was doing was going much further than my feet. And part of it was just because I was working a little too hard. I was on the West Coast doing concerts over the weekend, and then I flew home for one day, and I turned around and went straight back to the West Coast to do taping in the studio, and then I flew from there to Orlando. Orlando is home now, but it wasn't then, so I still wasn't home. And this was the next weekend I'd flown into Orlando, and I was to provide a song at the end of the Sabbath morning service. And then I was to provide a concert. It was actually the end of a leadership conference held by Adventist Health System. So they were running a whole week of conference, you know, seminars, whatever they do, and then I was the entertainment at the end of the week. Well, this particular conference was entitled Living with Dying. So they knew well in advance what song they wanted me to sing Sabbath morning. At the end of the sermon, they wanted me to sing No More Night. They thought it would be a good fit. And everything was scheduled to the second because they were taping it, and they're just very detailed that way. So since I knew what I was doing, and because I was so burned out, I showed up at the very last minute. Church had already started. I threw my disc to the sound guy. He and I knew each other well, and so I just tossed it to him. He threw me the mic, and I came up, and I sat on the front row, and I wished that I was anywhere else but there. The speaker got up that morning, and it wasn't who I had remembered them telling me it was supposed to be, but I was glad because it was Lee Vinden. Are you familiar with that name? His father is Morris Vinden, and both wonderful speakers. And Lee's sermon that day was beautiful. It was on the Passion of Christ. So he was detailing the final moments of Christ's life on the cross and what that means to us. It was really a beautiful sermon. As he gets to the end of it, he said, well, now, here, he says, there's one more thing I need to share with you about Travis. So clearly he had been talking about Travis all week long. So I perk up. I like stories. And he started talking about a teenage boy who was dying with cancer. And Travis was Lee's parishioner, Lee was his pastor. And at one point he pulled Lee aside and he said, I need you to sit down with me and plan my funeral. And he said, my parents won't do it, my friends won't do it. They say, oh no, you're going to beat this. He says, but I have some very specific desires for my funeral, and I need somebody to listen to me and make sure it's done. So Lee sat down with Travis, and this teenage boy began outlining what he wanted for his funeral. And as Lee described all of this to us, it was very clear that Travis had a great faith in God, and what he was trying to do, it was his last effort to save his friends and family for Christ. It was really beautiful, and we were crying, and it was very touching to hear these things. And Lee continues to tell details, and he says, no matter what day I pass on, he says, my funeral needs to be on Friday at sunset, because he says, and I want it to end at sunset, because I want it to represent me going into my Sabbath rest. Isn't that beautiful? Yeah, so you see, this boy was very spiritually mature. He said, as the sun is setting, I want you to end the service with my favorite song by my favorite singer, Jennifer LaMountain's No More Night. Well, and the sound guy started the track. I wish somebody would have told me, because I was weeping on the front row. I was a mess. And I've never looked at that video because it was an embarrassing performance of the song. I mean, we all were having an emotional moment, and I'm sure I was excused for being such a fool blubbering through the song, but I didn't perform it well, and it was nerve-wracking. And I got through the song, and I went back, and I sat down on the front row, and then I really started to cry from the adrenaline rush, and the promoter came, and he sat next to me. And I punched him in the leg, and I said, Kevin, why did you not tell me you had this all planned out? Because they plan out everything. I said, you could have warned me so I could have done my part well, you know? He said, actually, our speaker got sick at the last minute, and so we brought Lee in. And he said, Lee knew you were going to sing that song at the end, and he said, I didn't know there was any great connection there. Lee didn't know that I was sitting there thinking my songs meant nothing. But God knew, and he used Lee to share that, to just give me a little courage. The thing is, the story's not over. 1 week later, I'm back on the West Coast again, which is ridiculous. Why am I going back and forth so much? But I was in Washington State, and we were setting up Saturday evening for a large concert event there, and I was working with several volunteers in the front. And a lady came up to my arm, and she clearly wanted to talk to me, and so I waited till we got everything situated. I turned to her, and we introduced ourselves, and she asked me if I was singing No More Night that evening, and I said, I actually wasn't planning on it. She says, oh, no. She said, I really would love to hear you sing that song. That's the song that led me to Christ. Well, I had to ask why. I mean, anything can lead anyone to Christ. I believe that, but that's not, I hear it from different songs, not necessarily that one. So I had to know the story. And she told me, she says, well, I'm a pediatric nurse. And she said, I work nights. And she said, I had a patient who had terrible pain in the middle of the night. And when he would be in the worst pain, he would turn on your song, No More Night, and he would play it over and over and over again. And she said, this was a boy who had a great faith in God. And she said, on one of those nights, when I heard your music playing down the hallway and realizing what faith he had in God, she said, I knelt down in the hallway and I gave my life to Christ. I said, this wouldn't happen to be Travis, would it? She said, oh, you know him. And I said, no, I just heard about him last week. She said, well, his parents are here. You need to meet him. I dropped everything and I went and I sat and met Travis's parents. They told me all about him. He was a fine musician. He played the harp. He was an athlete as well. And here recently, I was able to go to his graveside. There on the tombstone is his name and the date and this one inscription. No more night, no more pain, no more tears, never crying again. Jennifer LaMountain and the songwriter Walt Hara. All I do is sing songs. I can't wait to meet Travis someday and tell him what his story has done for me. Thing is, these things are going on every day around us. If we are dedicating what we say and do to the Lord, he has ways of taking those things and weaving them into other people's lives and changing people for him. We may not hear these stories till we get to heaven, but it happens. I'm going to sing No More Night for you, and you can go ahead and start that for me. Thanks, Margaret. Of course, when you listen to this song, we're all going to think of heaven and those that we've lost before us. But I want you to think of something else. What has God put in your hands right now that he's asking you to do for him? Because with him, he can do amazing things. The timeless theme, earth and heaven will pass away. It's not a dream, God will make all things new that day. Gone is the curse from which I stumbled and fell. Evil is banished to eternal. You just never know what it is, whether it's the thing you say, the encouraging card you write, the child you feed. What makes a difference in people's lives? It's Christ, and He is kind enough to use us. So I ask you again, what is it that He's placed in front of you now? What's that next step? Because no matter what age you are, He has something. He has a purpose for you right now that will not only make a difference in other people's lives, but change yours while you're doing it.